Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program can be live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country at BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416, and have your say. Otherwise, text us 0457140550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional and trusted beautiful country fields. Welcome Black, National Talk Black, have you saying Yanup Strong? A Merry Christmas to you all, Kuri New Year, hope you're doing well. Maybe you want to give us a call, tell us what your plans are for your celebration for this year, festivities with your organisation or with your mob, with your family, with your clan group. All is here on your daily program. Maybe you want to talk about what is in plan for 2025. We don't plan to fail. We'll just fail to plan. So set your plan of attack. Tell us what you're doing. Tell us a new venture. Maybe starting a new business. Maybe going to university. All is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yana Strong? Let's go Karachi Man and Arurupana Band. Do check it out.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mwaka ran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
416.
You were out there waiting for the sunrise in your favorite chair, waiting for the dawn. Right from the start, you have always had this feeling to follow your heart, to follow the sun. You went away,
you went away,
leaving me with sorrow,
left me with sorrow,
waiting each day,
waiting each day,
for you to return,
for your return.
How can you go? Don't you know how much I need you? I'll wait for you while you follow the sun. Days turn to years,
years and years
of longing and yearning,
longing and yearning.
Too many tears,
many tears
now have been shed,
have been shed.
Then you came back.
Ooh,
you're my life, you're my sunshine.
Ooh,
together
we will follow the sun.
Then you came back. You're my life, you're my sunshine.
Together we
will follow the sun.
Together we
will follow the sun. Together we will follow the sun.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Gingy country. And that's BBM, Bumrabrip Media, 9.7 FM. And go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Have your say in yarn up strong on National Talk Black. All right, to Delhi, the Albanese government is investing in $12 million through the Indigenous Broadcasting and Media Program, IBMP, to support the First Nation broadcasting and media sector. Fantastic opportunity, fantastic investment. And we're going to talk with Wally Tallis, who's the FNMA CEO, First Nation Media Association, and got Wally on the line. Wally, good morning. How are you?
How are you, my brother?
Very good, brother. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, Western Island of the Torres Straits, plus South the Island man, but plenty of family connection through Birriggubba there, through extended family, but proud Townsville, brother.
Proud Townsville, yes, brother. Represent. Big shout out to all your mob. Listen, money's a tool. Fantastic money coming our way in regard to Indigenous broadcasting media program. $12 million, and that's not an expense. That's a good investment, isn't it, Wally?
Yeah, it's a credit to the government. I just want to acknowledge Minister Rowland and Minister McCarthy up front and the Albanese government for understanding the importance of First Nations media. I think it's a start. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot more to go, but this $12 million of new money brings us to parity. When I last spoke to you, this is not extra money or bonus money. This is our sector. Some of our sectors have been struggling and hasn't had the money that we need to be sustainable and grow like the mainstream community broadcasting sector. So it's a welcome investment, and we thank them for it.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And when you look at that, when you look at the vehicle we're driving here, media, Indigenous media at that, like I said, we're in the 21st century, social media and what have you, but everyone still listens to the wireless, you know, so it's a very important tool. And I look at the fact that when we had COVID-19, the communication was so very important to our mob, especially in remote. And then the opportunity of the mayor's taking our elders and put them out to further stations when we had COVID-19 and we had the communication via media. So it's a very, very important and powerful tool, yes.
Yeah, I endorse everything you said. It's, you know, there's language preservation, there's storytelling to the wider Australia, there's a celebration and a mechanism for our young artists to come through and celebrate their talent. You know, there's so many things that First Nations media offer and that ability to have a balance like, you know, Australia's got to be reflective of the country by which we are now, and that's called Australia. And First Nations people were the first and big part of that. So, you know, we welcome that the government's going to invest in making sure that our sector lives on for the future. It's very important.
And also a foundation for, well, employment, but also career pathways for our young ones, you know, to go into media, journalism. That in itself it becomes a powerful tool as well, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, you guys there from Vipra, you got two wonderful, wonderful young, talented people I had the honour of meeting in Converge in Canberra. And that's, you know, a wealth of talent and you know, upbringing. And through you guys helping them, you know, inform and get that message across. Like, we've got so many wonderful, talented young people across all of our spectrums. But, you know, media is equally as important. And they're our future in our media broadcasting. And like you said, the new worlds of TikTok. I didn't grow up with all that, but this new way and the new world that our radio stations and our media and our TV and print and our, all that type of stuff is important. Our young people are embracing that as a pathway and a journey for them to get employment and share their culture through that lens, and it's a great thing.
Well, when you look at the likes of myself and you, Wally Tallis, we're not model material, but we've got a face for radio, brother.
Yeah, that's right. It's 100% true.
So there's a platform for us.
You
mate.
Know that, bro. I've definitely got to head to radio.
Too deadly, my brother. Look, it's fantastic. And so the money's forthcoming, and it'll be a great investment for our mob, Indigenous media, broadcasting. Fantastic. So watch this space. It just drives us forward into the future. Good yarning with you, Wally. And look, all the best. Merry Christmas. And we'll talk soon, brother.
Yeah, same to you and all your listeners. Make sure everyone stays safe and enjoy the festive season. And I look forward to making sure we just keep on growing as mob. It's timely and we need that. Mm. So happy Christmas to you, brother, and all your family and loved ones. And I'll speak to you in the new year.
Take care, Wally. All the best, brother. Bye-bye.
See you, brother. Bye.
Deadly yarn there, Wally Tallis, and he's the CEO, FNMA, that's the First Nation Media Association. And look, a welcoming statement there by the Albanese government, investing $12 million through Indigenous Broadcasting and Media Program, IBMF, to support the First Nation broadcasting and media sector. And that's this vehicle I'm driving here at the moment, National Talk Black, here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yarnup Song, you mob? You can text the brother as well. And that daily number is 045-714-0550. Our Facebook page, Big Face, Sookbook, BBM 98.7 FM. That's another venue, another avenue that you can contact as well. Stay tuned, your daily program, National Talk Black.
During the wet season, conditions can change quickly. Make a plan now to stay safe on country. If you can, stock up on essentials so you can stay home in bad weather. If you need to be on the road, take food, water and medicine and let someone know where you're going. Listen out for warnings and be prepared to wait it out in a safe place. Remember, if it's flooded, forget it. Search flooded, forget it for more information. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
When you need medical care, ask yourself, do I need emergency care?
Nah.
Is this something a GP or nurse can treat?
Mm-hmm.
Can I wait for a routine appointment?
Mm-mm.
If you have an urgent, non-life-threatening issue like a cut, minor burn or sprain, get the treatment you need at a bulk-billed, walk-in Medicare Urgent Care Clinic. Find your closest clinic and opening times at health.gov.au/MedicareUCC. Part of making Medicare stronger. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
Jandabanapi Bamanda, Jandabakat Jandabamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. 98.7 FM, BBM.
Harvard cabin in a crowded labor camp. Stand out with this old memory I revive. 'Cause my daddy raised the family fair with two eyes waking and tried to feed my mama's hungry eyes. Mama never had the luxury she wanted, 'cause it wasn't that my daddy didn't try. She only wanted things she really needed. One more reason for my mama's hungry eyes. I remember daddy praying for a better way of life, but I don't recall the changes of any size. That another class of people put us somewhere just below, and more reason for my mama's hungry eyes. She wanted, 'cause it wasn't that my daddy didn't try. She only wanted things she really needed. One more reason for my mama's hungry eyes. Oh, I still
my name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
It's your boy MSP. Ekole. I asked that for worry. Worry belong island keseni. Ekole take me go.
Way to an island breeze.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn it to yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program, come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. And on Queensland time, 11 a.m. to 12 noon. So have your say and yarn up strong. Looking at news here, ABC News, Scott Wilson couldn't see Aboriginal superheroes in the comics he loved. So he created his own. Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander readers mentioned that Scott Wilson grew up obsessed with superheroes, but he never saw his own culture in the comic books he'd get lost in. When I was a kid, my favourite superhero was Wonder Woman. I'd twist a bath towel into a lasso and then pretend it was a lasso of truth, he says. Scott grew up in Ruby Broom, spending his time on country around Western Australia tourist town. And Spider-Man was the superhero who really captured his imagination, and he identified with the idea of high school student by day, masked Avenger by night. But the most superheroes without his mask, Spider-Man, is a white man. So for Scott, it raised a very personal question. Why don't I ever see myself in these stories? As he grew up and learned to make his own superhero, Scott found the answer in creating comics that draw from the world's oldest living culture and by sketching its newest figures. He called it Indigiverse. In the universe, the superheroes talk in traditional language and draw their power from the dreaming. And Scott was big plans for superheroes living in the Bronx or Broome. Scott grew up in Jungun Warrior country, living in an area he says is known as the Bronx of Broome. We lived on Ann Street, and it had notoriously been given the name Diamond Street. All the shattered glass on the road would shine as if it was diamond, Scott explains. Scott grew up, and his role models were the people around him. He was raised in this, on the stories that his mum and dad used to share about his grandfather and his other relatives. They were tough, rugged human beings, but they had this class. This embodiment of heroes. They were on horseback, driving cattle across rough terrain in the Kimberley and on country through croc-infested waters. It just set up who I wanted to be, Scott said. Although he was raised on these farms and he wanted to be part of the world, he wasn't really Lynn Inventures type. Instead of enjoyed other pursuits. So drawing was about creating a world he could make his own. Scott poured himself into illustrations and his schoolwork, eager to prove himself. That hard work earned him a scholarship to Perth's prestigious Hale School, WA's oldest private boys' school. It was around 22 hours' drive from the hometown, a long way from the Bronx or Broome. It was like we were heading to Hogwarts. I had no idea when I was getting myself into, Scott says. Being there was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but Scott was one of only few Indigenous boys in the boarding school. He described himself as a shapeshifter. Chess, rugby, basketball, art, he did everything he wanted to excel in and to be the best, but I couldn't shield him from the prejudice he was confronted whenever he did things like going to the local shops. Would check your bag and thought that probably just how they do it with all the kids, but I noticed they weren't checking all the other non-Indigenous students' school bags. So I was just very blazed to this concept of racism. I never really thought of myself as an Aboriginal when I was in Ruby, because I was in my class and majority Aboriginal students stand. We didn't say, hey, I'm Aboriginal. We just say, hey, I'm Gunyandi, you know your mob. It wasn't until today I started pointing out that they had only been at that because you guys are black. As he was learning to deal with these concepts of racism and find his voice as a young creative tragedy struck that shape his art for. Dealing with loss while boarding in school, Scott was beloved cousin Adam in a car crash. The sudden death rocked him. Adam was my big brother. Basically, he loved his cars. He had his brilliant gold car, the Golden Boy, Scott says. He used to drive around town. You know, all the girls used to sing out. Everyone knew him. Adam's passing compounded the sadness of the death Scott had already lived through. Many of these were suicides. I started to get the understanding of this feeling that I was going to die, he says, that I was not going to survive to get to 21. I had this responsibility of my family to my community and to the rest of the world. My mum and dad were working, working their ass off, he says, to do things. I wanted to go and explore the opportunity and got because I wasn't going to do it just for myself. With the tragedy of his cousin's life, a reminder, Scott doubled down in his work. And he found his ideal elective, creative your own superhero. He already had the model for his superhero in mind. Gunjanya man named Adam Hart. A lot of characters that I was forming had an anti-hero vibe, says. I created a character that was just completely black with all these awesome colors through the body, with the power to move from time, move through space. I love this idea. No matter what the challenges, they'll overcome their own darkness within themselves. Expanded in Digiverse in 2010. Scott finished high school and went to the University of Western Australia. He was an anthropology major by day, a comic creator by night, and when he was not in a lecture, he was building a whole universe of First Nations superheroes dubbed the Indigiverse. Adam Hart was the center, but over time, Scott created a world in which Adam is displaced from his own culture and dropped on the other side of Australia, a Gadigal land. He also gifted him a superhero with came the power of dreaming. I had to be specific. It had to be have our First Nation language connection to my people, connection to the country, all those connections. The universe has given me the story or given me the tools or bring what has given me to life. And a beautiful photo of here, shot here of the Adam Hart, the dark heart chapter, diving of the light. Dying of the light, fantastic. So with the vision, there it is, turned into a superhero, and his vision about why he didn't see as a kid any black heroes. So he created one himself. That's the vision, being the best user you can be, and thriving for the vision, turning to fruition. That's what he's doing. Too deadly. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We'll be right back.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Ma che tabakamu? Ma tabakamu che è mai camari mirna tatri? Ma tabakamu che è?
Mari arwaurili.
Camari mirna tatri. Au kila
kila. Au kila kila.
Mari mari arwaurili. Au kila. Che tabakamu?
Ma tabakamu che è mai camari mirna tatri?
Ma tabakamu che è?
Mari arwaurili. Au kila kila.
Bearers of our oral history, pass your story to the children of tomorrow.
You're strong, isn't it?
Can't sit here and stare in sorrow.
Yes, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, Indigenous elders, farmers and veterinarians unite across the NT to spotlight climate change impacts on animals and country. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Janet Kessels, owner of the Greater Springfield Vets Group and founder and board director of Vets for Climate Action. We have Dr. Janet on the line. Doctor, good morning. How are you?
Great. Great, thank you.
Good. Where
Thanks
are you based?
Thanks for having me this morning.
Thank you.
Great. Yep. Yeah, I'm based in Ipswich, just out of Brisbane.
Lovely, thank you. Collaboration is a good word. We get it together. So the joining of Indigenous elders, farmers, veterinarians across, unite across the NT to spotlight climate change, that's a good move. Impact on animals and country, and that's looking after country and animals on country. It's a great concept getting together.
It really is, yes.
So where do we go with them? What are we doing? And how do we push for, Vets for Climate Change?
Well, perhaps I can tell you a little bit about Veterinarians for Climate Action.
Okay.
We started Vets for Climate Action 4 or 5 years ago, and it was around the time of the fires when, those terrible fires happened all around Australia, and 3 billion animals lost their lives or were displaced.
Yes.
3 billion wildlife, and that's a lot of wildlife.
It is.
You count 1 second for each of those animals, and you go back 80 or 90 years, So
astronomical numbers. We could be talking about extinction if we're not careful.
Yes, we could be talking about extinction, yeah. And it also had really big impacts on the cattle industry up in the north. The cattle were weakened by drought up there, and then there were big rains. Everything didn't quite match up at that time, and 600,000 head of cattle died, and that's a lot of animal suffering, and veterinarians think a lot about animal welfare, animal health, and I was very distressed by all of that. So Vets for Climate Action came into being, firstly to help the vet profession become more aware of impacts of climate change on animals, and then hopefully to educate the public, because vets are sort of connected with the public all around Australia, all around the world, really. And then we wanted to advocate to government for really strong climate-positive policies. And then we also have developed a program for vet practices to become come to net zero, and practical things that we can all do to be more sustainable and reduce our energy emissions. And so our greenhouse gas.
Exactly. And getting it together, working with Indigenous elders, farmers, veterinarians as alike. How did this come about and how did the conversation started? And how do we meet? Do we meet on a monthly basis? Is it Zoom or face-to-face? Tell us about the connection there.
Yeah, sure. So I was travelling up in the Northern Territory and was in Kakadu and went to a community called Patonga. And met a gentleman called Ben Tyler. And we had a really good chat by the bank of the river, and I was telling him about Vets for Climate Action, and he became our Indigenous advisor.
Okay.
That was a few years ago now, and I just felt that it was really important to have a perspective of First Nations people. I mean, you know...
Well, a lot of our rangers are working the country, looking after country. Yeah, so it's a good input. Right. It's a good, add to the conversation in regard to the big picture.
It's really, really, really important. And I thought that it would be good to include Ben. So he called me early in the year and told me that he'd been speaking with a gentleman called Uncle Frank from up near Borroloola, and that Uncle Frank would like to meet with me. So I decided that maybe I would go up to Borroloola and meet not only Uncle Frank, but other people in the Northern Territory.
We'll talk about joining the dots. That's what we do, join the dots, yarning circles.
Yeah, and hear the stories. Yes. You know, these people have lived, they were often born on country, they've hunted and gathered there, they've, you know, they're there now as rangers or live there. They might be, you know, farmers and pastoralists as well. So I just wanted to hear these stories firsthand. So I was very lucky to have a gentleman called Nick Wood, who was a former BBC correspondent, who came along to video the interactions that we had, and also my wonderful daughter Gracie, who's a photographer.
Yes.
And so the three of us actually travelled to the Northern Territory a couple of weeks ago, and we had places to visit, including Borroloola, which is up near sort of the Gulf, actually. It's a really long way, about 12 hours drive from Darwin. We hired a car and drove all that way, and then from Borroloola we
and seeing beautiful country too, I must say, Doctor.
Oh, it was incredible. Yes. It was absolutely incredible. One of the gorges that we saw there at 7 Emu Station, I'd never seen anything like it in my life. It was so beautiful. And to sit at the top of the cliff at that gorge, watching that water, and to hear the stories was just one of the most precious moments in my life, actually. And to hear from somebody who's been observing this, you know, since he was a little boy.
Yes.
And to have some of this on film so that we can make a little documentary about it. That was just such a privilege. So we were there. We crossed three rivers. That was fun and exciting. You know, it's a wonderful property that he has there.
Mm.
And then we made our way to Katherine, and we spoke to some veterinarians in Katherine who are also observing, you know, changes in terms of heat. There's a change to the balance. That's what keeps coming back. The balance is missing. Things that used to happen at certain times of the year that could be guaranteed to occur, plants flowering, you know, insects coming out, flying foxes going certain places at certain times, that have done that for millennia.
Doctor, it shows that climate change is real.
It's extremely real. It's extremely real. So these veterinarians, you know, they're working with cattle, they're working with domestic animals, they're working with horses. And when the temperatures change, you know, they used to have, now I might just have a little look in my notes here.
Yes.
The notes that I made, and I hope that I'm correct in what I'm saying, but the temperatures, the bird protein denaturation zone is 43 degrees. So when temperatures get over 43 degrees, it's very, very hard for birds to cope, and they'll literally drop out of the sky.
Yes.
But the heat days up in Katherine, they measured in days over 40 degrees. It used to be about an average of 7 days a year that would be over 40 degrees. There was
That's
one
high temperatures, isn't it?
There was, yeah, there was 54 days over 40 degrees, you know. But on average, they're now having 20, 23 degrees.
Yes.
23 days in the year with temperatures over 40 degrees. So, I mean, that's really, really hot and very, very hard to get about your daily life when the temperatures are that hot. And
well, it affects humans, so it's got to affect animals, doesn't it?
Yes.
And, of course, and I think, plant life.
You know, horses don't sweat, do they? You know, they puff. So horses have you know, they get this thing called anhidrosis where they don't sweat. And then they've got to puff the heat out, and that's a problem. Horses do sweat normally. Sure. But, you know, when things start to shut down, it also shuts down their sweat gland. So, you know, we think a lot about impacts on people, but what are the impacts on animals? So we visited Australia's first Indigenous veterinarian in Katherine.
Yes.
He works with biosecurity. That was very interesting. You know, how do we protect Australia's coastlines from diseases that might travel south as a result of climate change? And that's a that was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And then we went to Kakadu and spoke with a ranger, you know, where those wetlands are, those beautiful wetlands. There was beautiful little jacana birds, and there was jabiroo, and beautiful, beautiful birds. We went for a trip on the boat there and saw it. And he was just so incredibly knowledgeable about the animals and the birds and the crocodiles.
Doctor, just shows you that we are all students for life, aren't we? And we can all learn off each other, you know, and we need to work together. I always say that they're always looking for life on planet Mars. We need to look after this planet first, don't we?
Exactly, yeah. You know? I mean, this is where we are. This is our gift, you know,
exactly.
To be a part of life here. And, you know, we also had the chance to meet with a gentleman in Elliot and his family. His sister's a ranger there, and to hear stories about what's happening to the birds, and you know, they're seeing dry lightning strikes.
Yeah.
They're seeing fires that shouldn't be happening at that time. At one point, they said it was so hot that it was smoking under the manure pile.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't seen these things before, and these are people that I 100% totally trust. I trust
their
understanding, and yeah. And then from there, we went up to Litchfield and met with a grazier up there. So it was
all meant to be, the connection, joining the dots, exactly.
Yeah. And so this is the first, we seem to be some of the first in the world for veterinarians to be talking about climate change and impacts on animals.
Sure.
It's a bit of a first. So earlier this year, the president of the World Vet Association actually contacted me and said, can I come and spend a week in Australia and just learn about veterinary climate action?
Yeah.
And so we spent a week together thinking about what that might look like for the world. So we're wanting to create a World Veterinary Climate Alliance. So this documentary that we've been able to film, it's going to be short. I don't know how it will turn out. I hope it will be very impactful.
Hey, any vehicle we can use to expose, to educate, let's use it. Let's chuck it out there. Throw the irons in the fire is what I say, Doctor.
Yes, so we hope to present that to other members, you know, presidents of the World Vet Associations all around the world to show them what's happening in the Northern Territory. It's one of the most climate vulnerable areas in the planet.
Now, Vets for Climate Action, do you have a web page or how do people get in touch with you?
Yes, we do. Vets for Climate Action. So if you Google that or go on our Facebook or our Instagram, we would love to speak with you and meet you.
Sure.
If there's an avenue for this documentary to go somewhere, we would love that.
Right.
And we'd love to speak to more people. Really.
Fantastic. We're coming up to the news, my dear, but this is good. Vets for Climate Action, thank you for your yarn.
Thank you.
Great for your connection.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank
Work
you.
Closely with the farmers thank and the Indigenous elders and our rangers.
Thank you.
It's a great opportunity. Thank you for sharing, Dr. Jeanette, and we'll talk soon.
It's an immense privilege for me. I can't thank you enough.
You take
thank
care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Deadly yarn there, Dr. Jeanette Kessels, owner of Great Raider Springfield Vets Group and founder and board director of Vets for Climate Action. So do check it out, Vets for Climate Action, and see what they're doing and working closely with farmers as well as our elders on land, looking after the country and looking after animals. So very important. It's come to the time where Trinity Trev signs off. Thank you very much for your company, Mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Got the news coming up via NERS, National News Radio Service. So stay tuned for that. But otherwise, take care. A Merry Christmas, Korean New Year. Keep in touch, and we'll be yarning tomorrow. Too deadly.
be down.